this week on the Time Bat Show.
I don't think it was a live raccoon. Okay, that would be really
the way unethical. I interpreted this, Mitch, is different. Like, when you say seasoned, I thought you meant, like, veteran raccoon. Like, it's been on some missions to, like, draw out, like, alligators before. Everyone, and welcome to episode 99 of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Timeasis.
And I'm one of your hosts, Bat Snacks.
And it's episode 99, which is like, this is like if we had like a birthday month, this would be like that, you know what I mean, of the Time Bat Show.
Oh, like you start celebrating your birthday on June 1st or something?
Yeah.
Well, my birthday's in June.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, what? What do you mean June? So it's that kind of like, we're celebrating right now because 100 is our big 100th episode, which is really exciting. Also, I saw on Twitter, we made our first Twitter account, or we made our Twitter account like 2 years ago yesterday, I think. Which means we've been around for 2 years, which means that episode 100 is like more or less lining up with our 2 year anniversary somehow. So that's cool.
Well, that's not all somehow, so cool, yeah.
Yeah, 52 weeks in a year, and we skipped a few, so yeah. So it's all happening. It's real. Episode 100 is coming up.
I don't want to believe it. I'm not ready.
We have, like, no plans for it either. That's the bad thing. Like, no. We should be, like, planning amazing guests and, like, an exciting episode. But we have literally zero plans for episode 100. Like, we should have, like, big plans. Like, it's going to be the most entertaining episode. We'll have, like, guest people come in and out. Like, there'll be great topics. We've been planning it for, like, months, but we don't have anything like that. Whatever. So, we'll just kind of wing it.
I was going to say, do you remember back to, like, episode 9 or 10, for example? Episode 9 was the M. Night Shyamalan one. We were talking about that one before the show.
Yeah.
Around that time, my, like, fantasy about what episode 100 would be, like... I flew out to where you live, and we do it in person. And we get, like, a cake, we get dressed up, and, like...
We're in, like, a tuxedo, like...
Yeah, by then we've got, like, we've rented a recording studio, maybe, for the night.
We have, like, thousands of fans.
Yeah.
All over the country. We could do, like...
I don't know. I was going to say we have a really cool intro, like, welcome, and I can't even do it because I don't know what it would be, but
welcome, you know, you to listen. The Time Bat Show, and it's like,
good morning, afternoon, or night, and thank you for turning on your radio waves to this epic episode live of
this epic episode live of the Time Bat Show, episode 100.
There's like horns blowing,
and we have a soundboard at that point. That's like a big one. We thought we would have that, but we don't. And then, we're in tuxedos, and we're like filming ourselves doing it at the same time, too.
Yes.
Well, we're not doing any of this.
And I'm recording on a Chromebook that's running Linux.
Who would have thought we were going to have our 100th episode with you recording it from a Chromebook using a Linux, like, boot? It's just funny. We've really moved up in the world since episode 9. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
I think we had more fans at episode 10.
We've, like, lost significantly. Like, this show's not going anywhere. Let's just keep. But, you know, the fans that stick with us, they're for life, I think.
That's
whoever
awesome.
You are out there, you know, some granddad in Missouri who listens every week, we appreciate you. Yeah. Email us sometime.
That Nevada family that still listens around the dinner table.
They don't have a TV, but they have internet for some reason. And, they tune in every Thursday night. After we post it, they're really excited. But we'd love to hear from you, Nevada family. Email us at timebatshow.com. Or wait, contact at timebatshow.com. Or tweet at us at timebatshow. We don't check the email very often, but we will. We'll look at it. We'll look at it this week because it's episode 100. Maybe we'll get like a mail that's like, congratulations on reaching episode 100.
We can dream. I mean, if that's what you want to happen, maybe it'll happen.
This is my dream. Some like radio person emails us at episode 100 and they're like, I've been listening to your show. It's great. Congratulations on episode 100. We should talk sometime. And then he like signs it, and let's say his first name is like Craig or Derek. Yeah. Derek, right? He signs his name D, like not his, like not his full name. He just says D because it's, yeah, like, it's like that's more personal and informal.
Yeah, he made it really informal and like, was whoa, like actually wrote it himself.
He wants to talk to me, and then he gives you his phone number, and that's my dream for episode 100.
Isn't that nice when you get an email and someone like takes the time to write their name and like under it is their whatever normal signature that's just like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Hey, specialist, recall me at the whatever.
Yeah. Do you have like a specific way that you write emails to certain people at work? Because I do, and it's kind of weird because like you want to strike a balance between, you know, business and casual, but you don't want to seem too businessy, but you don't want to seem too casual either. You know what I mean? So it's like a kind of a...
Is it different for each person?
For me?
Yeah, for me, sort of. I change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely change it too. Like, if someone I communicate with a lot, like, I'm definitely more casual because I don't want to seem like, do this for me now, blah, 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 blah. But if it's, like, someone I don't know very well, I'll do it more businessy. Like, hey, could I get the data on this, blah, 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 you know, sincerely me, you know what I mean? But, I don't know. It's odd.
For me, there are three stages of formality. The first one is my salutation is going to be good morning, afternoon, or night. And then I'm going to say Mr. or Mrs. And then the last name, a comma, a full line break, and then start my message.
Wow, a full line break.
And then at the end, there's another full break, and it's going to be best regards.
Best
and
regards. Then
my name.
So you do best regards. I was going to ask you what your sign off was.
I have a few. My favorite, and I don't think you can get away with doing this most places, but my favorite one to use is peace.
Peace, yeah. That's super informal, though. That's super informal. Don't you think?
If you think about kind of where I work, it makes it kind of like I can get away with it.
I guess that's true. Well, like if I emailed someone, I was like, hey, what's the deal with this? Anyway, I'll talk to you later. Peace. You know?
Yeah, peace.
Like, they would be like, he's like peacing out. Like, what is this about? This is weird. You know?
That's definitely like how I mean it when I write it. But I think, you know, because of who my audience is, it might be interpreted in a different way. And I like that.
When you ever leave a place that has people in it and someone says goodbye to you, do sometimes they go peace to you? Do they do that? Do some people do that? Like, peace. Like, you know what I mean?
It's been a long time. There was a period where people did that.
Someone did that to me yesterday night. And I was like, whoa. This is so cool. Like, I was walking away, and he, like, peace. And I was like, oh, peace! And I pieced back. And then I was passing someone else, and they were like, they knew I was leaving, and they nodded. But I was all, like, in the rush of just getting a peace. Yeah. So I peaced him.
That's really awesome.
And I was like, I'm on a roll. I'm going to peace everyone. And then I should have said, peace out, everyone, but I didn't. I should have, but I didn't. But yeah, I was like in the rush of getting a peace for the first time in like 20 years. Well, people used to do that, and they don't really do it anymore.
They did. Mm.
Have you ever left somewhere and you like, no one ever didn't say, did? When you like leave an event, whether work or social, or a lot of times it's like both, you know, like you'll get like a work social event or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people there and you're leaving. Do you make the effort to be like, hey, I'm heading out, bye everyone? Or do you just kind of walk away and like hope that people either don't notice you or do, depending on who they are, kind of thing?
So when I go to those kind of things, I usually have my designated like anchor people, people that
you just stick to. Yeah.
I gotta stick with these guys. These are my dudes. Mm-hmm. They got my back.
I'm comfortable around these people.
Yeah, and, you know, those people are usually friends with other people, and that's how you get into other conversations.
Sure, sure.
You go to your anchor person, right, no, and then
I have the exact same thing, yeah. The anchor. I'm glad you brought up anchor person, because this is a phenomenon I've discussed with people before, yeah. And I think it's very true. I'm not the most sociable person, but I'm not
right.
Antisocial. But I definitely need that, like, anchor person where I can just follow them around and be like, oh, you're talking to this? I'll talk about that a little bit. Blah, 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 you know.
Yeah. You know, like, some of my anchor people will be, you know, the social people who will talk to everybody, which is cool. And yeah. Then I get to...
Yeah, and then you get to feel like you're a social butterfly.
When in fact, I'm just, like, riding on someone else's shoulders.
No, into I know. It's like you get, like, this rush, right? You're just like... Because yeah. This happens to me sometimes. Like, I used to have a guy I worked with. He was, like, the most outgoing person you could possibly imagine. Like, he would just walk up to people he never knew and be like, hey, how you doing? I'm blah, blah, blah. And you're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, complete strangers. And he, like, latched on to me for some reason. Like, we became friends. I don't know why. We're very different. But he, like, just liked me a lot. So whenever we had, like, work social events, like, after work and stuff, or, like, if there's, like, a, you know, kind of a happy hour thing or a party or work party or whatever, I would just, like, hang out with him the whole time, and he would talk to literally everyone, so I would be able to, like, follow him around the room and literally talk to, like, everyone there, because yeah. I would just hang out with him the whole time, and, like, while doing that, you feel like this rush, you're like, I'm socializing the shit out of this party.
Like, I never do this, look, I'm doing it.
And then when he's gone, he's like, he left for another job, now I'm just like, oh, I got no anchor anymore. I'm just kind of like, yeah. Like, you'll still have an anchor, but they're not, like, the social, like, they're not super social, so they'll be, like, you'll still anchor to them, but you'll just be like, well, they're not talking to everyone, they're just, you know, now I'm just back to kind of normal, you know.
And I do tend to anchor with the quiet people, but, you me know, too, once you too. Get one
if
of the...
You, if you get lucky with a social person anchor, it's just like, whoa, it's like you caught a big fish, and you're, like, along for the ride, you know.
Yeah. Like, whoa. It makes me feel... Are you everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, it makes me feel more secure, like, if I have that person, too. Like, it'll make me feel more confident at my job.
Me, too.
Like, it's like, I know this person, and they know everybody. That means I'm good. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's weird. It's a weird sensation, and it's hard to describe, because I think people, like to classify people as, like, introverts or extroverts or, like, social or antisocial. But I'm not really either. Like, I don't really fall into either of those. But I definitely have, like, maybe it's a confidence thing. Like, I don't have a lot of confidence in myself. But, like, when you have an anchor person that's, like, very confident and very... Like, it takes a lot of confidence to be highly sociable, right?
Yes.
When you have an anchor person that's very confident and they're, like, joking around with you and they, like, are confident in you... Then you're, like, confident in yourself. Temporarily, yes. I might add, you know? And then you're like, oh, this is cool. This is great, you know? I remember one thing, like, there's one work thing. I was, like, kind of... You know how you, like, kind of sidle up to a conversation and it's, like, awkward when you're, like, alone and you're just kind of standing there listening in, you know? It's, like, really awkward.
Yes.
Maybe it happens to be, like, all the time. So I was doing that at, like, a work event. And then all of a sudden, a person that I'm, like, pretty good friends with comes in. And, like, I'm like, anchor cast, here we go. And then all of a sudden, I can, like, talk to all these random strangers that I don't know all
yeah.
of a sudden. Because it's like, oh, got it. You know, here we go. Confident again. But, yeah. It's a weird phenomenon.
It is.
Anyway.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you also have that situation. Here's the problem with you and me being, you know, really, really good friends. I would consider you probably my best friend, but it's fine if you don't reciprocate that. But like really good, really, really good friends, right? The problem I have with you is whenever we go out and do something together, I mean, I have a great time, but neither of us are social in the way that we're going to, like, carry the other person to, like, you know what I mean? To, like, new...
If anything, I think we, like, we reinforce each other's, like, lack of confidence and insecurities. Like, they get stronger.
It's like, hey, should we go up to talk to those people? And, like, the other person would be like, no, that's a bad idea.
Like, hell no, are you kidding?
So that's the disadvantage there. But, you know, it's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But getting back to my original question, when you leave, like, an event, do you, like, try to say goodbye to everyone, or do you kind of slip out? Or do you, like, say goodbye to the people you like? Like, how do you approach that?
Maybe I'm just someone that needs a lot of help with this kind of stuff, because I go up to the person I'm friends with, and I tell them I'm going to leave, and then they, like, organize my exit for me.
I wish I had an exit organizer like that. I would just say it, and then they'd be like, bye, and then I'll leave, and then I'd be like, well, that was awkward. So they organize. Do they say everyone, okay, he's leaving, everyone, goodbye. Say
yes.
Goodbye. See, I wish I had that, because I don't have that anymore. Yeah.
I even do this at family events. Like, I go up to a more sociable person than
like
I'm.
Your mom or something.
Like, I'm leaving. Like mom or like the cool cousins.
He's leaving. Say goodbye. Because I can't announce it. It feels really awkward to like interrupt this conversation and be like, hey, everyone, hey, you over there, hey. I'm going. And they're like, I don't know who you are. It's like, okay, well, I'm going.
It's fine.
Bye. Yeah. I will tell the person that I'm, like, friends with. If I'm multiple, I'll tell multiple people. But
yeah.
I always find
if I made them, they are. And if I made a good friend at the party, I'll tell them goodbye, like, on my own volition. Even if I met them through the friend.
At the party. You made a friend at the party, you'll tell them goodbye.
Yeah, like, no, or if we just, like, talked more than average.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see. If you, like, had a conversation with someone that you, like, clicked with, you'll be like, hey, I'm going, see you later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's just awkward to me, because we've been talking about social stuff for a while. That's fine. It's awkward to me when you have a group, and you know maybe three or four people, and maybe you'll, like you said, talk to another person and feel like, oh, I connected with this person. And then when you go to say goodbye, if everyone's kind of like in the same place, it's awkward to say goodbye to 3 out of the 20 people, you know, and then just leave.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do I do in this weird situation? But I don't know.
Goodbyes are tough.
Maybe these are just things I think about.
They're not. Goodbyes always involve, like, planning ahead, a lot of thinking about it. They take a long time.
I always get anxious, like, am I going to do this right? Like, should I just not leave for another 20 minutes or something? Or sometimes I'll be like, I'll wait till someone else leaves, and then I'll, like, piggyback on their goodbye.
Yeah, I do that too.
I did that today, leaving work.
Mark's leaving. Now's my chance.
I literally did that today, leaving work. I walked outside. Someone had their dog, and I was like, oh my god, your dog's cute. And I, like, asked to pet them, and I was like, oh, I petted the dog. And then we were, like, talking a little, and then I was, like, standing around, and I was like, well, this is awkward. There's, like, two other people there, or three other people there. And I was like, well, this is awkward. We're kind of talking, but, like, I need to go. But at the same time, it's kind of rude for me to, like, come up and pet your dog and then be like, because people are still in conversation or whatever. And then some guy was like, oh, I gotta go. And I was like, oh, me too. Bye. Anyway.
Oh, man. It's tough out there.
It is. It's hard. If you have advice for me and Bad Snacks, please email us at contact@timebadzo.com. We would love to hear from you about how you say goodbye at a party or event. Sometimes I'll just leave. I'll just not say goodbye to anyone and leave. You know,
if the goodbye strategy gets shut down, then you just have to leave in defeated.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to an event or left an event and, like, hoping that when you enter, everyone goes like, "Hey, look who it is." And then when you leave, they're like, bye. Like, everyone says, like, oh, bye. Like, you feel, like, loved. You know what I mean?
And then it doesn't happen. And
it's never happened to me in my entire life. But every time I go somewhere, I'm like, oh, maybe this is the day people will be like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. You know? And then when I leave, they're like, oh, take it easy. But no. It's always, like, I always have to plan the goodbye and be like, I'm leaving. And they're like, oh, okay. Great. Bye.
Okay. See you later. Thanks for telling me.
Thanks. I'm talking to this guy. Okay. All right. See you later.
No. Excuse me, we're trying to have a conversation here. Just get out of here.
Get the hell out of here. No one cares about you. You know, sometimes you want to be the guy that people, like, or people, like, you know, want... I don't know. I've never been that guy in my entire life. You know?
You know, like, all those, like, teen movies from the 80s where, like, there's the raging house party, and then, like, Skeeter shows up, and they're like, whoa, it's Skeeter!
Yes. It's like, look at him, he's there! And, like, everyone is excited. Yeah. And he's just some guy. Like, he's not cooler than me. He's just some guy. You know? And you're like, how does he get all that attention? Not that I care that much, but I care, like, in the moment, right? I care in the moment of entering. Like, why? What's going on there? You know? Have you ever, like, met someone that was, like, really... Not, like, mean, but, like, very antisocial in, like, a... Not, like, a hate humanity way, but, like, they're quiet. Maybe they're, like, a little weird. And they don't, like, make any effort to, like, socialize at all. But then they become, like, a person that people, like, really like for some reason, like, out of the blue or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever met someone like that?
I've had problems with this in my life because the kind of person I am, if I see someone who's struggling socially, I want to reach out to them and try to, like, make them feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just, like, who I am. And so, like, growing up, especially in school, I would always find, like, the weird kid that, like, got, I don't know, like, didn't have any friends. I would just go try to be friends with them because that's what I do.
That explains why we are friends with each other.
Yes, it does. It explains why we're friends. We're both kind of weird. We're both bad at talking to people.
We're both like, oh, this person likes weird stuff. Okay, I'll be their friend. And then the other one of us is like thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of becoming friends, we bonded over Final Fantasy VIII. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And this is a segue into the next topic of discussion, which is that Final Fantasy titles are coming out for Nintendo Switch soonish.
Yeah, I know they at least picked some of the good ones.
Except for Final Fantasy VIII. Like, all of them but Final Fantasy VIII.
Are they not doing 8? I thought it was 7, 8, 9, 10.
7, 9, and 10.
Oh, come on. It was good.
So I wanted to have a quick discussion with you about why you think 8 deserves to be on Switch.
It was good.
Was it?
It was as good as... No, maybe it wasn't as good as 7, but...
Was it? Was it good?
I really liked it.
We did bond over 8. We met over Final Fantasy 8. So there's that. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a great video game.
I would say it's great.
I need to replay 8 because I don't remember much about it, other than it gets really, really weird about halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And it has this weird, like 7 was this, like, you know, future, almost cyberpunk, fantasy light kind of setting.
Yes.
And 8 was, like, very hard into sci-fi, but it, like, blended fantasy into that, like, a lot, too. Because there were, like, witches and shit. Like, it was very weird. Like, the genre weird. Blending it did.
It was like a fantasy magic realism kind of thing. Yeah,
it was.
The way the story is paced, it's like almost like daily life in the life of the main character. Like, you have a room, you go to sleep, you walk around your school a lot. Mm. You know, it feels very much like you're living in the moment with the character.
Yeah.
And he's like, God, he like kind of sucks, but I still like him. Like, the main character just sucks.
Yeah, Squall's awful. I don't like him at all.
Yeah, like, none of the characters are actually good.
8 has, like, really not, like, I don't know. In every other Final Fantasy, I'm like, oh, these two characters, I love them. And then the rest of the characters, oh, they're pretty good. And then maybe there'll be one that, like, I hate. But 8, it's, like, mostly characters.
Yeah.
The only ones I can think that are good, okay, so 8 has Squall, who's annoying as hell. And then has Rinoa, who's the love interest.
Who
is
doesn't have much of a personality.
Fine, but she's not that interesting. Then you got, like, Quistis, right? The teacher lady? I don't know
how to remember. She's the sexy teacher.
She's the sexy teacher. Who's like,
yes.
Let me add, I remember when I was a kid reading how old all these kids were. This comes in the manual. Quistis is only, like, 2 years older than Squall. Or, yeah. Like, maybe three. Like, Squall's, like, 19. Quistis is, like, 22. I remember this distinctly. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, she was played up as, like, the sexy older woman or whatever. She's, like, a kid. She's a kid just as much as Squall is, you know? She's 22. She's college age, you know what I mean?
Okay, let me try to defend it. So, it's like, a military school. So, she's, like, a lieutenant, and he's, like, a private. Yeah. So, you gotta progress fast, because they're gonna die, because it's war.
That's true. There's kind of a weird Starship Troopers kind of thing going on in it, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they're in a squad. Like
military things and all that
yeah.
stuff. Anyway, so you have Quistis, who is kind of cool. Then you had Zell, who was the really weirdo one. He was like the wackadoo one, right? He had the funny haircut.
He was like, he was like the Waka, but like not as funny as Waka.
He had a funny haircut and he liked to punch things. And I remember he had really big shorts.
Yes.
Like, really big. Like, they were, like, bell-bottom shorts, I want to say.
He was, like, Titus, the beta version, kind of.
He kind of was.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you remember Zell? We're going to do that again, just, like, even more. Like, even more blonde and even bigger shorts, you know? And, like, even wackier personality. I'm trying to think who else.
Then there was Selfie, who was like the anime girl.
She was the most annoying character in like the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No one used her. Maybe they did. And then there was Irving, who is the marksman.
He was like the Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, but he didn't have a lot of scenes. Like spoilers, he dies like immediately after you meet him.
He dies?
Wait, no, does it? No, he doesn't.
Does he?
I was thinking of the first disc when Idea like. They try to assassinate Idea, but I guess he does stay in the game.
Well, the only thing I remember about Irving is, like, he's trying to assassinate her. Or maybe he's trying to assassinate you. He's trying to assassinate somebody.
You hire him as a sniper, and he has to assassinate the witch. But he doesn't do a good job.
Yeah. And then you get him on your team. And he didn't have a lot of characterization, other than he was, like, the cool cowboy guy. Because he has this cool hat. You know, and he's like, oh, I'm cool. And you're like, okay, that's your character. You're cool. That's great.
His cutscene is like he's laying on the grass with his hat over his face. And he does like the finger shooty guns at the camera.
And that's like the only cutscene he has in the entire game. It's just that. Yeah. Like, that's his character right there. I can't even remember who else is in that game. Is that it? Is that all for the main cast?
Yeah, that's all.
That's it?
And then Idea, who later becomes good.
And then here's the best thing about 8, right? The side characters that they had like the smaller story arc with Laguna or whatever the hell his name is.
That wasn't good, yeah.
I liked them. I liked them more than the main people, honestly. I thought that
they were better characters, but it wasn't fun switching between
these main characters
you worked hard on. And
but I would have preferred playing that game over you know what I mean? Like, I didn't like doing it, but I liked the characters a lot better. So I would have preferred playing that game. What are you going to do?
I thought the battle system was fun. I had fun with it. It was my first Final Fantasy, so that maybe that's why I liked it so much.
It seemed very soap opera-y to me.
And
maybe that's why I didn't like it, even as a kid. And there's a twist, like, halfway through, where it's, like, there's this orphanage that the evil wizard lady, like, was the headmistress of, and you find out, like, halfway through the game...
all went there.
That literally every character in the game went there as a child. And they just don't remember. They have amnesia. And I was like, this is the dumbest story writing I've ever read in my life.
Okay, so the characters were kind of dumb, the story was kind of dumb, but I think the atmosphere of the game and the battle system... were excellent.
I'll give you that. I also think the scenarios that they had, while I hated all the characters, were really interesting. Like, they had, like, cool locations, like they had Fisherman's Horizon, and they had all the cool gardens and stuff. And, like, the stuff you do in there is all interesting stuff. Like, the scenario, like, the mini scenarios, like, the episodes are all cool. But, like, the overarching plot was really dumb, and I didn't like any of the characters, you know?
I agree with you.
That makes sense. But, like, playing, like, the little stories in the towns and stuff, I thought that was really cool, because, like, the world was cool, and, like, the little mini scenarios were really cool. I just did not like the main story, and I did not like the characters. So. Okay.
Oh, well.
I'd give it another shot if it came out for Switch, but what are you going to do? But yeah, so that's 7.
It's so funny that they skipped it.
They did. It's like 7, 9, and 10. It's like, oh, I guess no one likes 8. But people do. There are defenders out there. You and a couple other people I know that are like really staunchly pro 8. But 7, 9, and 10 are coming out. And two of those are great. And one of them is, you know,
fun.
It's basically the Final Fantasy 8 of PlayStation 2 RPGs. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's fine.
It's fun to play.
Yeah, 10 is fun. 10 is a fun battle system. 7 and 9 are much better, but what do you do?
All right. Are you ready for your first trivia question of episode 99 of the Time Bat Show?
I'm so ready for episode 99 trivia.
So the category is going to be history. So I'll have you choose your lifeline based on what that category is.
I'm going to do 50-50.
Okay. Your first question is... During Operation Mosaic, Group Captain Stuart Menal flew a bomber through A, a dust storm, B, a nuclear fallout cloud, C, a tropical cyclone, or D, a giant flock of birds.
These are all really crazy.
So, again, that's during Operation Mosaic, Group Captain Stuart Menal flew a bomber airplane through. It's either a dust storm, fallout cloud, tropical cyclone, or a giant flock of birds.
So I don't even know what Operation Mosaic is, but I'm assuming it's some military thing. You know, why dust storm goes to my head first, because I feel like, oh, a lot of conflicts in the Middle East. And there's a lot of dust storm in the Middle East, so maybe it's the Middle East. Again, it could be Fallout Cloud, because he could have just nuked somebody. Or somebody nuked something, and he had to fly through it. You know, that's also possible.
Yeah, I didn't actually think about, like, how strategically you can approach this question based on geography and, like, where a dust storm would be and where a giant flock of birds would be.
So, giant flock of birds, I mean, I don't see you doing that, like... I mean, maybe you would, but I don't know. I feel like you just turn around. Like, can't you just maneuver around the birds, you know?
It's like big.
Like a dust cloud, it's like, oh, this is just everywhere. Giant flock of birds, you're just like, oh, they're here. Let me turn left a little and then get around the big flock. You know, they don't have to be a huge flock of birds, I feel like, can you imagine how big that would have to be for it to, like, you can't change course? Why not? Just change the headings. Like, no, the birds are there, too.
There's too many.
They're everywhere. They're all over the place. And what was the other one?
A tropical cyclone.
That would just be really dangerous. I'm going to use my 50-50 on this one.
Okay. It is either A, a dust storm, or B, a nuclear fallout cloud.
Oh, God, doesn't help me. I mean, it does, but... I mean, I know it's not the birds, which that makes sense.
I was thinking maybe it could be something like, have you seen Planet Earth? Like, there's those big bird clouds in
Africa and stuff. Yeah, I know, that's true. Absolutely, I definitely think so. It's just...
Can you imagine how horrible that would be? Like, flying through birds.
You'd kill so many birds. You know how many birds you'd murder at that point? I feel like your engine would actually die.
Become full of birds.
Right? All the birds are going to get into your engine and your propeller, and you're not going to be able to use that stuff at all, you know? Like, because there's birds everywhere, and you're dead. But they have bones. Gosh. Like, they don't just grind up, you know? They're not like
I think
bugs.
That's how McDonald's makes some of their food, though.
They throw it into a propeller. And what comes out is your chicken nuggets. They throw a chicken into a propeller. And they have a guy on the other end catching all the remains.
And then they're like, hey, he's got just like a bucket he's holding up in the air.
A bucket of grease. And then he dumps the bucket into like the deep fryer. And then there you go. There's chicken nuggets right there.
That's how chicken nuggets are made.
Which explains why you get, like, chicken face in your nuggets sometimes.
That's so gross. Yeah.
Chicken face. I'm going to go with Duststorm.
Final okay. answer. Duststorm is incorrect.
God, it was a nuclear fallout cloud.
Which is interesting, because I don't think there too many people have been nuked in history. No. Operation Mosaic must have been a
nuclear thingy.
Maybe in World War II or something.
When it was called something else. Dropped that. Maybe. I don't remember.
Hey, I don't remember.
Who knows? That's wild. I would not want to do that. You had a news story for us today, I'm pretty sure, about Snooks.
Yes, I did. Did I close it? No.
I hope you didn't. I mean, maybe you did. You gotta be prepared for episode 99.
We're not prepared for episode 99. I remember what it was. There's a Texas mayor, and apparently she was recently elected and also recently shot a giant 500-pound alligator.
Okay.
So it's a Texas great-grandmother, and she was just elected for mayor, and the funny part of the article to me was that she said that in order to lure the alligator into her field of vision, she used a seasoned raccoon.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think they put, like...
It's like a pro at doing this sort of thing. It's like, I've done this before.
You gotta use some Cajun seasoning.
Oh, Gators so love they that. Killed the raccoon.
I don't think it was a live raccoon. Okay, that would see, be really
the way
unethical.
I interpreted this, Mish, is different. Like, when you say seasoned, I thought you meant, like, veteran raccoon. Like, it's been on some missions to, like, draw out, like, alligators before.
This is, like, a special breed of raccoon, maybe? Yes. Like, they're bred like, for this.
They're bred to, like, draw predators out. They cover themselves in, like, some kind of butter or something like that. And they, like, flaunt their hindquarters at the animal. And then when it strikes, they, like, run away really fast. And then, like, into the, they lead them into a trap. That's what I thought seasoned raccoon meant. But I think this makes a little more sense. She seasoned up a raccoon with some Floridian herbs and spices. Or, sorry, Texan herbs and spices.
Yes.
And then got it. Was it a gator? Then, is that what you said?
Yeah, she said it was a 500-pound gator.
It's a big-ass gator. What did it eat before that?
Maybe the gator?
Yeah, didn't it eat something? I remember seeing it on the article. Like, it ate some, like, prized thing in the town or something like that. I don't remember.
I think that's true. I wish I had the article open so I could check for everybody. What can you do?
So she seasoned up a raccoon, and did they catch the gator? Did they get it?
They got it. They said they're going to eat it and make, like, shoes and what have you out of it.
Yeah. Gator tail. You know, you've eaten gator before. You're from Florida.
Yeah. It's okay.
It is okay. Okay, let me ask you something, because I've eaten gator, too. I lived in Florida. Have you ever eaten gator without people visiting in town and being like, we're going to try alligator? Like, have you ever
done
that? No.
Me neither.
Like, when I moved here, someone asked me, like, have you ever had gator? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, do you eat it all the time? I'm like, no. Like, we don't just eat gator in Florida all the time.
Yeah, that's gross. We only do it if we're trying to impress somebody.
Right, or, like, relatives are visiting from some other state, and they're like, I really want to try gator. And you're like, okay. I mean, it's just, like, chewy chicken, but all right.
It tastes kind of funky, like it's like swamp taste.
It's like chicken, but like worse, basically. It's like it's chewier and it's like a little funkier tasting. But I've noticed they always like deep fry it because you wouldn't want it any other way. And then you dip it in something that masks the flavor of the gator.
Yeah, it's like a mayonnaise-based sauce that just like totally masks the flavor.
It's like an aioli, if you will.
Yeah.
Totally covers the taste of the gator. Anyway.
It's exactly like you said, though. The last time I ate it was when my relatives from Kentucky were in town, and I was... They suggested the gator, and I was like, sure, I guess.
Last time I ate it, yeah, some relatives, I think, from New Jersey were in town, and they're like, we gotta try gator, and we're like, okay. We'll go here, and we'll get gator, and you'll be like, oh, boy, I tried gator, I'm never gonna eat that again. Like, that's how I feel as a Floridian. Like, not really... Well, I'm not a Floridian anymore, I guess, but I'm a Floridian in spirit.
Right. Yes.
What else we got going on in the show? Oh, we have a listener question today.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. I tweeted something out, and I got a listener question.
Okay, so I did not know that we got one.
We got one 16 minutes ago. So the listener, we're just transitioning into Reddit questions now, but before we do that, we'll get into the listener question first. So it's from Mana C. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Mana C.
Yes, I know that person.
She asks, why is it normal to eat the same breakfast every day, see a bagel or the same kind of cereal, but having the same thing for dinner every day sounds horrendously ludicrous? Huh, that's actually a really interesting question, because I go one step further, and I eat, like, lunch. Like, I'm almost okay having the same thing for lunch every day, and I've done that before.
Yeah.
But eating the same thing for dinner, for some reason, like, I can't do that.
Yeah, I would never do that.
I don't know why. Do you eat the same foods for breakfast and lunch, or sometimes?
I go through periods where I'll either just, like, skip breakfast entirely and get an early lunch, or I will eat something very fast for breakfast. It'll either be cereal or some sort of,
like, but it bar. Could be the same thing every day. Like, it could be a banana or a bar every day or something.
Yeah.
For lunch, there was a time in my life where I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch every single day for, like, I don't know, years and years. But for dinner, I've never been in a situation where I've eaten the same thing for dinner every day for any extended period of time. I think the most I've ever gone, I think I've eaten a burger for dinner like 3 days in a row once. That was at, like,
that's my lowest. Too much burger.
That's in my, like, lowest of low points, you know?
But yeah.
I've done it. You don't want to know how that turned out. It was not.
Why good. Is it so bad? You know, I'm now that I think about the question, whenever I go shopping for breakfast food, I'll buy, like, a whole box of cereal, and I'll be like, okay, this should do breakfast for, like, a week.
Yeah.
A week straight. Yeah. I never shop for dinner like, oh, let me just buy, like, 15 pounds of chicken, right, and I'll be and good I'll for dinner.
Chicken every day. It's like, no, I can't do that. I'm physically incapable. I think maybe the root of the issue stems from dinner, for me and for most people, is, like, a heavier meal. So if you're eating the same heavier meal every day, I feel like it's easier to get tired of it, or it's easier for your body to react adversely to that. Like, it's fatty or something like that, you know? Like, if you had a cheeseburger every day, your body would be like, what the hell are you doing? Like, shut it all down. Like, let's stop and think this through before you have something else like this.
We need to, like, take a look at what's going on in your life if you're having a burger every day. I don't know about you, but
I have, like, a limit to certain foods that I can only eat them X number of times a week. And a cheeseburger is, like, around 2 for me. Like, I could do 2, but I don't want to, but I can. Sometimes I'll do 3 if I'm, like, really bad. But, like, that's one of the foods where it's, like, I can't do that more than once a week. Same for, like, pizza or anything, like, really unhealthy. You know, but like, that's once a week thing. And that's it, you know. I could do chicken twice a week if it's spread out, you know, and if it's prepared in a different way, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that.
That's exactly how I feel. If I eat a burger one night, I have to do something light the next day to balance it. That doesn't probably make any sense nutritionally, but psychologically, it's like, that's how my brain works.
What do you mean balance it?
I don't know what that actually means, no, but that's how I say it.
Say the whole thought again, and then
it's like, okay, I'll try to process this. Last night, I ate a burger. It means tonight that I should eat something like a salad so that it balances.
I don't think that's weird. I think that's logical, because you're trying to, like, eat less fatty today because you had something fatty last night. I think that makes sense. I think it's logical.
It's logical, but that just sounds kind of funny in my head when I say it. Like, yeah, the salad will make up for the burger. Like, it'll balance it somehow.
Anyway, so to answer the question, I think it's because people eat larger meals in dinner, and your body probably naturally gets tired of that. That being said, if you had something light every day, like a salad for dinner, I don't think it would be that weird. I mean, maybe it would, but I don't think it would. Like, if I could eat salad every day for dinner and not get tired of it, I don't think I'd be like, this is really weird, you know?
True.
Maybe I would. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say. Good question. Thank you, Manasi.
Sorry for saying your name wrong.
Sorry for saying your name wrong.
I don't even want to try. I don't know how to do it.
It was a great question, though. It was a great question. Please ask this question again. We are happy when people ask us things, so thank you for doing that. Are you ready to get into other Reddit questions now? Or do you want to do a... Let's do a trivia real quick, because we're behind on the trivia anyway.
Okay.
I'll do it, like, super fast, okay? I'll just guess immediately.
Okay, you don't have to. Your second... trivia question is about textiles, I guess.
I love textiles. It's one of my favorite topics.
Okay. Which lifeline will you choose for your second trivia question?
I'll do Monty Hall.
It's okay. Good choice. Okay. It says here, according to the question I've written, according to family tradition, George Charles Beckley designed the flag of Hawaii, which was passed down as an heirloom in the form of what?
What?
It was either A. So George Charles Barkley designed the flag of Hawaii. It was passed down in the form of what? Okay. A blanket.
Uh-huh.
B, a cape.
Okay.
C, a child's frock. Or D, drapes.
I feel like these are all inappropriate ways to represent a flag. Except blanket. But, alright, we'll go this way, I guess. So, a blanket, drapes, a cape, and a child's frock. What is a frock? Is that just a thing you wear over your, like shirt or something?
It's something you wear.
Okay, something you wear. Well, I'll tell you what I want to not say, is I hope it's not a cape. The Cape of Hawaii, because that would be weird. Although I guess it would be cool because it's like a Hawaiian superhero, like Hawaiian Man, you know, like he wears a cape and he. Okay, I'm gonna stop there.
Hawaiian Man, he wears a Cape of Hawaii.
Yeah,
and he like his superpower is that he can throw spam at people.
He can throw spam. He can cook whole hogs, like, on
in the ground
really well. Yeah. Yep. And he likes volcanoes a lot. He's really good at surfing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And he has a ukulele, and he likes to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow way up high. Like, I think I know Hawaiian Man. It was that guy that sang that song.
Yep, that's Hawaiian Man. And he runs around with a cape. And he holds a surfboard all the time. That's, like, his weapon. It's a longboard. He like uses it as something to bash the criminals with. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like represents Hawaii. So like if tourists come and like litter or whatever, like he's going to go after them. Like he protects Hawaii from tourists, basically.
This is straight out of like a 90s beat 'em up game. It's like Streets of Rage, Honolulu.
I love it. Oh, that would be a great game. Streets of Rage, Honolulu. Set in like the 80s or 90s, like all neon-y, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
You got like totally stereotypical enemies, like fighting crabs.
People on the beach. Yeah, like crabs. Yeah. You have like these like really rich like American developers that are like fat, like Kingpin. And he's like trying to develop on your Hawaiian hometown or whatever in Honolulu. And you're like, no. So you have to like try to beat him up. He's like the guy in one of like the skyscrapers in Honolulu. But you have to like fight your way up there. Right?
The final level is, of course, the elevator level where you take his elevator up to the top.
All the way to the top. And then he's sitting there like smoking a cigar. And he's like, I got big plans for your hometown. And he's like, I'm going to bulldozer your whole neighborhood. And you're like, not if I can stop you. And you like throw spam at him. And then you like use your surfboard. So you'd have Hawaiian like man. He wouldn't be called Hawaiian Man because that's too cheesy. His name would be like.
It would be one of those cool Hawaiian names. I don't know any
like Kamehameha or something like that. Like that was one of the kings in Hawaii. Like he'd be called Kamehameha. And then like you need like a whole. You need like four people. You know. You'd have like one guy that's like an American, but he's like really skinny. And his like he's grown up in Hawaii, and his dad's like he works for the Navy or something, you know.
Yeah.
And he like skateboards or something like that, right? They're all into extreme sports in some capacity, because Hawaii is all about the outdoors. So this so kind
two like male big, characters, yeah,
big into skateboarding, and then you got a girl, girl who's character. Like a volcano scientist or something like that, right?
Okay,
maybe, yeah. Or geologist or something, or maybe she's a marine biologist. Yeah, she's a marine biologist.
Yeah, she can like talk to dolphins.
She's like Aquaman, but
but yeah,
and she's like at the University of Honolulu, and she doesn't want the kingpin guy to take over because it's going to hurt the ecosystem.
Yes,
you know. And then last person, I don't want to get too stereotypical with this.
Well, that's like beat 'em ups though, is they're totally stereotypical. That's
true, they are. So you need another woman. I don't know.
A hula dancer, right?
Hula dancer, yeah. That's what I was going to go with, but I didn't want to say it. But yep, you're right, it's a hula dancer. Which would be a cool moveset, right? Like,
it would.
Dancing and she could, two enemies?
She could be one of the weird hula, like, maybe, like, delves into witchcraft or voodoo or something. This is probably, like, maybe
that's
culturally wrong.
We'll back that up a little bit. I think you're mixing and matching.
This is the same
like, let's islands. Just take all these cultures and smash them together. No, she could do, like, the cool fire stuff, though. You know how they do some of the fire stuff?
You know? Yeah, fire dancing.
Mm-hmm. She could do some of that and, like, breathe fire at people and, like, throw fire stuff at them and whatever. Oh, yeah. Streets of Rage, Hawaii.
Wasn't there a Beetlejuice sequel that was canceled that was supposed to take place in Hawaii? This was a trivia question that I think you did once.
Goes Hawaiian, yeah. I don't know why that exists, but this would be a lot cooler for an IP set in Hawaii. Like, I would like to play beat 'em up in Hawaii. I think it would be really neat. So many levels. You got the jungle level. You got like the downtown Honolulu. You got the beach level. You got like the volcano level. You got like the skyscraper level. I don't know. You have so many like cool things you can do with that. Anyway, back to the question. I'm going to Monty Hall and I'm going to lock in cape because I don't think it's cape.
Okay. It is either B, a cape, or C, a child's frock.
Oh my God. These are both equally unlikely. These are the last two I was expecting them to be. Okay. This is going to sound really dumb because I just locked it in, but I'm going to go with cape. Final answer.
Okay. It is actually C, a child's frock.
It's so weird. But whatever. I mean, that's cool, I guess. Child's frock. So you're going to have a child for them to wear it and pass it down.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Kids are messy. They're gonna like spill stuff on the flag.
All right, let's get in some Reddits. I'm trying to find a good question for you.
Okay.
I mean, I have a bunch, but I want to, you know, give you a good one. Let's see. Oh, let's start out with a fun one. What would be the creepiest thing you could say while passing a stranger on the street? It's tough, right?
Don't even think about it, buddy. Like,
what is that supposed to be?
Exactly, it's like vague.
Yeah, that is vague.
That would scare me. I think something like that happened to me once in a grocery store.
Yeah. Were you freaked out?
Yeah, I was freaked out.
Have you ever had any weird like experience in like a public area where you didn't know anyone, where someone did something really like disturbing and like weird like that?
Yeah. Do you have any in mind that you were thinking of?
Well, like one, like I was at like the store like a couple weeks ago or something, and this guy kept like picking up chicken and putting it back down, but he kept like looking at like he kept glancing around at the people watching him, and whenever he saw someone looking at him, he'd put the chicken back down. Like, but it was, like, different pieces of chicken. Like it was the same set of chicken. Like, oh, this is the sick chicken breast section. But it was just doing... It was like he was touching all the chicken for some reason. And I remember it because this guy was creepy. Like, because he was wearing something creepy. And what he was wearing was, like, it wasn't a bathrobe. But it, like, looked like... it looked like he had clothes on. And then he had, like, a robe or, like, a shawl kind of over himself for some reason. And so,
so
like
he's a wizard?
Really, it was a really weird thing to do, just, like, touch all this chicken and then look around. And, like, for a moment, I was like, is this guy gonna, like, shoot up the grocery store or like something. I don't know. Like yeah. It's just a weird, like, I don't know. It was a weird moment where I was like, this is weird. And I like ducked into another aisle because I didn't want to be around Chicken Man because it was disturbing me. Like what he was doing wasn't like that strange, but it's just like the way he acted and the, I don't know. Just like red flags. I was like, this is odd.
So that thing you do with, you know, like tomatoes and onions where you check to see if it's a good tomato, he was doing that with the chicken?
All the chicken, like every single one. But he was like self-consciously doing it because he didn't want people to know he was doing it because he kept looking around. Like, that's disturbed. So weird. Like, he's like, I hope no one's looking at this chicken I'm picking up. And then he like sees someone, he's like, oh, I better put it back and grab another piece of chicken. It's like, no, this is weirder. If you want people not to look at you, just pick the chicken and leave, you know?
So there are people that like that. I've been around these kind of people. They kind of like radiate like this like madness from them.
Yes. And you can't put your finger on why, but you can definitely tell that they're mad in some capacity.
Yeah. A place that you'll see this is if you go to like a Waffle House at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
There'll probably be someone there. There's madness there.
There's an air of madness. Yes. The Waffle House madness. It's always like one of those like cheap restaurants that's open 24 hours. Those are always the place to find it.
It's like a guy and he's just like ordered coffee and he's just sitting there drinking coffee.
At 3 a.m. like, what are you doing here? Don't you have somewhere to be? Like, don't you need to sleep for some reason? Like, I don't get it.
You're not drunk. Maybe, you're not eating like junk food. What are you doing?
Truck driver? That's the only thing I can think of. You know? But there's no trucks outside the Waffle House. You're like, what are you doing? Did you come out of bed and you're like, I can't sleep. Time for a Waffle House coffee.
Yeah.
It's weird. This segues nicely into our first would you rather question, which is, would you rather fight all eternity or eat one human?
Oh, no. It sounds like you gotta eat the whole thing, too.
Yep, you gotta eat the whole kit and caboodle. Fight for all eternity or eat one human. Now, the fight for all eternity, you're not gonna, like, fight, like, every waking hour. But, I mean, you're gonna have to fight people, like, a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you're constantly gonna fight people.
Yeah. This brings to mind images of, you know, Atlas? It's like you become Atlas. You gotta just push the boulder up.
Yeah, like every day you're gonna have to fight somebody new. Or you could
that sounds horrible.
Or you could get on it and eat one human. Yep.
What would you do? It makes me think, like, so in one you get an eternity at least. In the other one,
what do you mean? Do you get anything in return?
Yeah, do you even last an eternity if you agree to eat the one person?
No, I think you just live a normal life. But you don't have to fight for all eternity.
That's true.
It's like, one is basically you live forever, but you have to fight all the time. Like Sisyphus, pushing the boulder or whatever. But the other one is like, you live just how you are now, but you have to eat somebody once, one time.
I don't think I could live after eating someone even one time. Like,
neither. What if you didn't kill him?
Traumatic.
What if, let's say, a butler came in and he was like, here you are. And, like, he presented the humans all cooked.
God.
It was, like, ready for you, right?
And it's like one of the roasted boars with an apple in the mouth.
Yep. It's like that.
Yeah, sorry, I don't think I can do that.
You couldn't do it still? What if it was someone you hated? Like, a lot.
It wouldn't make it better. It's still gross.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So you would rather fight for all eternity?
I wouldn't rather, but it's like, I'm not going to eat somebody.
Like, yeah, I couldn't eat anyone either. This is wrong. If you're stranded on like an island and you're going to die if you didn't eat somebody, you would just sort of starve to death then?
It's hard to say, but in like the way I see it now, yeah, I would probably starve.
Like if Johnny,
ate a person.
Let's say you're with Johnny. You and Johnny are on an island. And Johnny's like, I just know it. Next week they're going to be here to save us. But I can't last that long. But you can by eating me.
What if Johnny is like, all right, it's got to be one of us. And you guys, like, Johnny's going to do it. And you have to defend yourself.
Johnny's going to be eating you?
Yeah, Johnny has made the decision that one of us is going to get eaten. Uh-huh. And you have to fight
He's doing like a survival of the fittest kind of thing. He's like going full Lord of the Flies on this thing. He's just like, one of us is going down.
Like you're Darwin probably going to have to... Yeah, you're probably going to have to fight Johnny, incapacitate him, or maybe even like kill him.
Kill him, yeah.
Would you eat him if he died during the fight? Or would you just leave him?
Because see, this is tough because then you've killed him for no reason. Because you're going to die too now, just by your own devices. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might as well just let Johnny kill you and eat you at that point. At least one of you survives.
Oh, because, yeah, I don't think I could eat Johnny. Like, he's in a place where he's willing to take that step.
And you're maybe just let him win. Like, all right, Johnny, have at it. I can't do this. It's horrible.
That sucks.
But, like, if I killed Johnny in self-defense, I wouldn't be able to eat him. And then I'd just starve and die myself. And it's just like, well, that was great, you know? But then Johnny would die eventually, too, right? Unless someone saved him. I guess the question is, does eating Johnny guarantee that you're going to get saved and, like, you're going to survive? You know what I mean?
Even if it does, I don't think I can cross that line.
So at that point, you really need to just let Johnny eat you. Because if you don't, then... you're going to kill Johnny and then you won't have enough time to survive to get saved.
Yeah.
So if you let Johnny eat you, he'll survive at least.
This is depressing. I don't know. I still don't think... It's a really depressing question. I still wouldn't let Johnny do it.
All right, you ready? You want to do our final trivia?
Yes, I'm ready for the final trivia. What will be your last lifeline?
What's my category?
Your category is geography.
10-second bing.
Okay.
I'm going to risk it.
It's probably a good lifeline for this question, which is, there are how many churches in Antarctica?
Oh, my God. This is going to be like zero, a million, or like five or something. Yeah.
It is either A, zero.
There it is.
B, four. C, 8, or D, 12.
I have no idea. Like,
there's not 1,000.
It's likely. But literally, all of these are just as likely. I could equally see all of these being just as likely.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to use my Bing. Okay. My gut, though, honestly, my gut tells me 0. Because Antarctica's, like, really shitty. Like, nobody lives there. You know?
Yeah.
My Who's gonna go? 0 or 4. All right, I'm gonna do it. Are you ready? Let me know when the timer is ready.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Bing.
How many churches in Antarctica?
5 seconds. 2 seconds. 1. Burn.
Was 7 an option?
Actually, it was 8. Is the closest one to that.
Damn it. Because, I binged it. And maybe this is just bing, bing, bing. But the first result is the 7 churches of Antarctica. Okay, so maybe they built one since this article was published.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Or maybe I got, in my trivia site, one of them closed after this was written.
Was 6 an option?
It was 0, 4, 8, or 12.
So the closest one is 8, so I'm going to go with 8, final answer.
Okay. 8 is correct, or maybe it's 7. Ooh. I don't know.
Ooh. Well, I mean, I got it, so it's fine. So there are 8, huh? Who are these churches even for? Do that many people live in Antarctica?
I think it's just, scientists and seals and stuff, but...
Maybe it's a seal church.
It's a seal church.
The Church of the Seal. They gather and worship the ice. Do you think animals are religious?
Gosh, that's such a cool question. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Are you glad I've waited till the very end of the show to bring this up?
I mean, I can't... I'm not an expert on this, but I know that there are weird animal behaviors that, can't be explained.
Do you think they're religious? Wouldn't that be cool if they're religious?
Yeah.
What animal do you think, if animals were religious, what animal do you think would be most likely to be actually, like, a religious animal?
Maybe, like, big fish.
Why do you say that?
Or, like aquatic salmon? Mammals.
Like salmon?
Yeah, like salmon come to mind. There's a fish in a lake somewhere. I wish I could be more specific, but they do this thing where they swim to a specific part of the lake and swim in a circle for like a day, and they don't do anything except swim in a circle.
That's so weird.
It's like, why do they do that?
Because they're praying to their fish god.
They're playing something. Yeah, to Krakow the giant lobster.
The first thing that came to mind with religious animals is like, okay, what animals group up a lot? But that's not necessarily religious, because like you said, this fish could have his own like personal thing he does. You know, like you don't need to be to congregate to be religious. But like the first thought I had is like, oh, maybe it's like ants, because they have all these weird, like they have behaviors, but you know, it's kind of like a cult almost, where they're like, you know, they follow their...
When you think about religion and people, it's like usually they get together to do something. So something like salmon making that crazy trip upstream, like why do they do that?
Beavers, I mean, they make dams together. And some of them make dams for like no reason. You know, they're just like, this is what we're doing. We're making this dam, you know? You know what I mean? Like, why are they making the dam? Like, what's the point of the dam? You know what I mean?
Like, I think... some of the behaviors can be explained by, okay, so like evolutionarily, that's probably not a word, but certain behaviors favor the survival of species like over time just because of probability.
Yeah. And so maybe it's the same doing that behavior.
Yeah. Maybe it's the same in humans, like a beaver, like the beaver that just keeps building dams for like crazy for no reason.
Even if there's no reason, is going to do better, because they'll build the dam correctly and it'll be good. But yeah. And ants build, like, these wild, like... some ants in, like, Africa build these, like, giant cathedral-like mounds.
Yeah.
That, like, don't really serve a purpose to look as pretty and as cool as they do. But they do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, interesting stuff.
Yeah. Animals and religion. What are you gonna do? Would you rather unlimited strength or unlimited breath?
Breath.
Strength or breath? Like, you never have to breathe ever again, or you're unlimitedly strong.
Both would be super useful.
Yeah, I know. You'd never get tired, really. You'd still get tired, but...
I would probably take breath.
Yeah. You'd breathe underwater. Well, you wouldn't.
Breathe underwater. You could swim.
So it's like that movie with Kevin Costner, Waterworld.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie?
It's been a really long time. I remember only the scene. Yeah, it's really bad. I only remember the scene where the three jet skis collide into each other at the same point for some reason.
And then they blow up.
Yeah.
Did you know that was the most expensive movie ever made at the time it was made?
Yeah,
I'm not lying. It's true. And the reason is because it was made in the 90s, and this was, like, right when CG was, like, becoming a thing. But, like, Waterworld, they were like, we're not going to do that. It doesn't look good enough. We're going to do all practical special effects. And the, like, script called for, like, a shit ton of explosions. So they just had to rig up, like, all these explosions, all these sets. And, like, all these sets on the water. Like, they had to fill, like, a soundstage with water and, like... put shit, like, put floating things on it and then blow them all up. So it just costs, like, a crap ton of money. Today, a movie like that would be expensive, but it wouldn't be as nearly as expensive because they just do it all behind a green screen, you know?
Yeah.
But back in the 90s, it was, like, insanely, ridiculously expensive. But I just kind of like how that it's so stupid and it's so expensive as a movie.
Yeah, that's really ambitious to do all practical special effects for a movie like that.
It was. I mean, I think it was cool, though. It's worth watching just for, like, to see the special effects. Because they did some crazy shit. And Dennis Hopper's the bad guy, and he, like, really hams it up. Like, the bad guy in Speed, same guy. He really hams it up as like a bad guy. So
bad guy in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great bad guy. He's like, he's like all bald and he's like, rah, rah. He's always grumpy. He's just a good bad guy, you know. He's really good at it. Anyway, so this water world. So you'd rather have unlimited breath? I think I'd rather have unlimited breath too. Okay, here's a tricky one. This one's deep. Would you rather live in a world with no laws or no imagination? That's where you say, whoa.
Whoa. Two extremes, man.
Whoa. That's a lot of dead, that's a lot of dead air right now.
No, I was thinking, it's a deep question. You got to think about it. So no laws, you can do anything, but no imagination. I mean, at least we'd all get along, you know?
That's true. The world with no laws would be nuts because, you know, everyone would have imagination and they would imagine all the ways to do terrible things, right?
Yes.
But it's kind of like it is now. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of anarchist. But you have imagination, so cool things can happen too. So you got to give or take. No imagination, it's like that movie Equilibrium, where it's like everyone's like a drone. It's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, like nobody is thinking about things.
Would it even be super productive? Because maybe without imagination, you can't really innovate.
It's true. So we would get to a point where, like, we have this system that's working, and then we would never make it better. It would just be the same. You know what I mean?
There's no reason to change it.
We wouldn't innovate on the way of, like, I got a good idea. We would innovate on, like, a completely, like, rigid metric driven way. It's like, this is proven to be better, let's keep doing this. So like you're talking about evolution earlier, we would innovate in that way, like by accident, and we would just see data and be like, oh, this is better, we did it accidentally, let's keep doing this. And that's just how the world would work. No one would have like, I have a good idea. It'd be like, oh, Charlie screwed up that thing accidentally, but it actually worked out, so let's put that part of the process. That would be, like, how, like, things work,
basically. I think I would choose no laws.
Just anarchy?
Yeah, just anarchy.
You'd live in, basically, Waterworld with Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I would live in Waterworld with Kevin Costner on a jet ski.
If you had to live... If you had to live in a ridiculous movie location, would you rather live inside of Waterworld or inside of... the John Wick universe? Given that in the John Wick universe, you have, like, people that are going to kill you.
Yeah, so you're part of that, like, Hitman Underground kind of group. I think I would choose the John Wick one. Which would you choose?
I would choose Waterworld.
Choose Waterworld?
I would. In the John Wick universe, I'm going to die. I just know I am. Like, eventually I'm going to die. Waterworld, I can at least relax for a little while, you know, like, on the water. And granted, people are going to be trying to kill me. But that won't happen for a little while. John Wick universe, I feel like I'd always be on the run, you know.
Okay. You probably would.
Yeah, that'd be a problem. Waterworld, you could relax a little bit.
So... In Waterworld, if you have anything valuable, then someone's going to try to steal it from you. That's like, true. At any cost. So you have
gasoline
to live...
Gasoline is really valuable in Waterworld.
You have to live very carefully. In John Wick, people are only going to maybe try to kill you if you make someone mad.
That's true. But you have to keep, like, working, or they're going to be like, you owe me, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's rough.
I think I would work at the car dealership with Aurelio.
Yeah, you would be, like, in the safe position where you didn't have to, like, murder anyone. Because once you get into the hitman stuff, you have to be really good at a hitman or you're going to die very soon. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be John Wick level of hitman to, like, live for longer than, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
At that point. So, that's what scares me about the universe. But yeah, maybe if I could get a job in the car thing, I would do that.
All you're doing is switching around VIN numbers. Talking to Aurelio, you're like, don't tell me too much. I don't want to know anything.
I don't want to know anything about the big bad guys. Waterworld would be rough because of Dennis Hopper. Because he's crazy. He wants all the gasoline.
Yes.
And
you
lives
need gasoline.
He lives on top of like a gasoline thing. Waterworld is basically Mad Max on water. Like,
yeah.
Like, they were just like, hey, you know that movie Mad Max? And they're like, yeah. Let's do that on water. It's like, why? It's like, I don't know, because it would be cool. And they just, like, did it on water. It was like, instead of cars, it's boats. It's still gasoline. And then instead of, like, I don't know, nuclear war, it's like the ice caps melted or something. And that was the thing that the apocalypse
happened. I think another one of the big ideas was, okay, get this. There's no sailboats. You got to have tons of gasoline everywhere. Like, so that you can have lots of explosions.
Right. But the weird thing about Waterworld is, like, gasoline is, like, the most sought-after resource. Like, it's the most rare resource. But everyone drives, like, these gas-guzzling things. Like, in one point of the movie, there's, like, 12 people on jet skis. And you're like, you're wasting so much damn gasoline on 12 jet skis. You could just put everyone on, like, one fishing boat and, like, save so much gas.
Just get a sailboat, yeah. Like,
yeah. I don't get it. Like, you can get electric boats, too. Like, a fan boat. I don't know. Like, it just didn't make any sense. It's just like, let's just use all our gasoline on jet skis. It was weird. It doesn't make sense. But I think that's the part of Waterworld that's just fun. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Let's do one last... Oh, maybe we'll do a Reddit before we leave. Oh, here's a good one. Who is famous and popular, but actually terrible at what they do?
Famous and popular, but do you have someone in mind?
No, but I think it's a funny question because a lot of times when I see someone that's famous, I'm like, why is this person famous again? They're not even good at their job.
Are they actually good?
I feel like a lot of the like people that like do like food shows that are like, watch me eat this food or whatever. You're just like,
oh, like what? Extreme challenges.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're just eating. Like, I could do that. Like, what is this?
So those YouTube channels where they're like, I'm gonna eat 5 Big Macs.
Yeah, and they're like really famous for that. And you're like, what? Some of these YouTube channels are really like, they have like millions of fans. And it's like, okay, what did they do? And they're like, well, one time they did the Big Mac challenge. And then another time they did the cinnamon challenge. And then one time they pranked a guy and got punched in the face. And you're like, wow, that's great. 1.5 million followers. I mean, I would never do that, but I could. I mean, I could do that. You know?
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to risk not being able to get paid millions of dollars for that. Because I think the outcome of eating 5 Big Macs is you just get really bad indigestion and like die.
I think the key to being a YouTube celebrity is having nothing to lose when you're like gonna become one. So like you don't have to pay rent or anything like that. You're just like, whatever, I'll do this and it might crash and burn, but like I don't care, you know. Whereas if I was like, oh, I'm going to be a YouTube celebrity, I would like change my life to try to be a YouTube celebrity. But if I failed, I'd be completely screwed because I would have no job after that. You know, like you need to like, you need to have nothing to lose to like go for it.
Yeah. You'd be like, great. I have 5 Big Macs and an Ultra HD camera.
And 4 people have subscribed to me and I've just spent the last 6 months trying to become a YouTube celebrity for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's too much to lose, too much risk.
Yeah. Who's our sponsor today, Bounce Next?
Our sponsor today is Polar Pops Antarctic Icicles.
Polar Pops Antarctic Icicles. When you're in the mood for an icing blast of flavor, choose Polar Pops.
Yeah, it doesn't get colder than Polar Pops.
And remember, when you're in a room...
Say vroom, vroom, vroom.
That's been episode 99 of the Time Vat Show. I am Time Aces.
And I am Bat Snacks.
And hope everyone has a great day and drive safely and be excited for episode 100.
Thank you for coming on this journey with us.
Good night and good luck. Bye.
Bye.